Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, name 763, Tejo Vrishaha. Not one of the very well-known names of Lord Vishnu, nor one which is easy to, it's not obviously understandable, like there are some names which are easily or more easily understandable, just like we just had Satyamedha. And Satya is a very common word. Medha, pretty common. Tejaha, yeah, that's fairly common also. But Vrsha, we hear the word, but anyway, the fairly well term, well known as Varsha, which means rain. So Tejaha means luster, light, brilliant, splendor, prowess. Tejas, Tejas, Vinamaham, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Tejas is also a fairly common name in North India. And Vrsha, in this context, means to shower. Varshati iti Vrishaha. So one who showers brightness, it can also mean by his prowess, he showers protection, and various meanings are in this way. Parashara Bhata, taking this series of names to indicate Krishna, Krishna avatar within Sri Vaishnava and most Vaishnava lines. Krishna is taken as an avatar of Narayana, Vibhav incarnation in the Sri Vaishnava system. So this series of names is seen by Parashara Bhatta as describing Krishna. And other names he explains, series of names. He takes series of names at a time, some to describe Varaha, some to describe Rama, the son of Dasharatha, some to describe Rama, Parashuram, the son of Jamadagni, and so on. So various names are Parashara Bhatta explains certain series of names in terms of different avatars. And Baladev Vidyabhushan, also a Gaurya Vaishnava, Gaurya Vedanta Acharya, he also explains his name in relation to Krishna, although the Gauriyas have a different perspective as to the relative positions of Krishna and Narayana. Relative, that word, well, they're both absolute. But the Gauriyas take Krishna as the original form of the Lord, and that will come up. Actually, this Tejo Vrsha is the beginning of another verse. Remember, Vishnu Sahasranam is in verses, not, well, it's name by name, but they're in Anustup verses. Anustup verses means the shloka. It's literally, that's what's literally called the shloka. When we have, just like for instance, Sarvadhaman Parityaja Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Hang Tuang Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Ishami Ma Shuchaha. That's called the shloka, and it's called Anustup. The meter, the chanda is Anustup. And there are so many other chandas, but the verse with this particular chanda is called a shloka. And others by extension may be called shlokas also, but actually, literally shloka refers to this. The first shloka came out of Shoka at the beginning of Ramayana, we find that out. But anyway, I'm just making the point that Vishnu Sahasranam comes in the form of, is recited by Bhishma Dev in the form of shlokas, and this name, Tejo Vrsha, is the first in another shloka. And in the next shloka, we'll come across the name Chaturvyuha and Chaturmurti, and in this there'll be discussion of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and how they are perceived in the different sampradayas, Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Gauriya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and the whole discussion of who is the original form of God comes out, which we may get into. It's quite technical, and it seems to have been a major point at some point, because we find in Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatamrita there's quite some discussion of this, and it seems to be quite a polemic point. Similarly, in the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and again when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Venkata Bhatta in Sri Rangam, there's discussion on this point. Anyway, we'll maybe get into that when we get to Chaturvyuha in the next verse. Now we're on Tejo Vrishaha. He who showers his splendor on his devotees in the form of his protection. And Parashara Bhatta, he, continuing from the previous verse, the last name in the previous verse, Dhara Dhara, which he explained to mean Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill. So in this verse, Tejo Vrishaha, he specifically states, or he specifies, that this name is applicable to Krishna as the lifter of Govardhan Hill. He held up the Govardhan Hill, just standing on a little raised platform, hillock, not really a hillock, it's a little earth platform, a little above everyone, holding up Govardhan Hill, and torrents of rain were coming down. Indra was trying to be Tejo Vrishaha by showering torrents of rain, but Krishna was a better Tejo Vrishaha by protecting his devotees, by lifting Govardhan Hill and protecting the cows and the cowherd people and the brahmanas and all the people of Rajabhumi in doing so. And at the same time, while Krishna was standing holding that hill, he was showering his splendor upon all the devotees who could gaze on him, even the gopis, the young gopis who are supposed to be good, chaste housewives, and not have anything to do with Krishna. It's widely suspected in Vrindavan village that the young married gopis have some kind of attraction to or a relationship with Krishna, but can never really pin them down. But on this occasion, the gopis had the opportunity to look at Krishna nonstop for 7 days. Oh! And no one could blame them, because everyone else was looking at Krishna too, so they wouldn't even see them look. They wouldn't even see that the gopis were looking, because everyone's eyes were glued on Krishna. It must have been very dark. Huh? It must have been very dark under the hill. And then anyway, when there's very heavy black clouds, Ghanashyam, black clouds give us the name Ghanashyam, Krishna, who's black, just like a dense, packed cloud. Ghanashyam also, that is also used to name Bharat, of the brother of Ramachandra. So he's also called Ghanashyam. So very black clouds, heavy rain, and sometimes the day almost becomes like night, becomes so dark. So it's such heavy rain. Plus, they were under a hill. It must have been very dark. But Krishna was there. Krishna is very bright. He was showering splendor, the splendor of light, and showering his mercy in the form of his unconcerned smile. Very easily he defeated Indra, even without fighting him. It was very embarrassing for Indra. It's like the biggest insult. If someone comes to fight or comes to insult you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that to you, and you just yawn and don't, Oh, don't even bother looking at him. Well, if you're actually in a position where you don't care about someone, that's you defeat them by ignoring them. Or you show their insignificance by just not reacting and not getting upset by them. Often someone may be very angry with us. The worst response in their mind to him is if you respond to them, that means you take them seriously. If you don't respond, it's okay. All right. All right. Have a good day. Don't get upset by them. That angers them more because it just shows you don't take their anger very seriously at all. But don't be careful who you use that with. If someone's more powerful, then they can crush you. But Krishna is more powerful than Indra. So he had a good excuse to show his power, to have all the residents of Vrindavan together just with him, 7 days, 7 nights, and to show that he's so superior to Indra that Indra is not even worth fighting him. Later he does, when he goes outside Vrindavan. But again, he lets him go. So, Indra poured rain, Krishna poured love. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Indra is also a name for Krishna. All names are names for Krishna, but Krishna, we like that name. Generally, we use the name Krishna for Krishna and Indra for Indra. Krishna showered love. This idea of shower, it's commonly used word in our Gauriya terminology, that or the idea of showering mercy, showering bliss, showering prema, love. It's a very apt analogy. Actually, it's not really an analogy, but because he does shower, Krishna does shower mercy and bliss and love. But the word shower in ordinary terminology refers to showers of rain. You could also get showers of hail, I guess, but just showers of rain. And that's here in India, where it's a hot country. And although we are enjoined by Lord Krishna, Shitoshna Sukaduka, Shitoshna Sukaduka, we should tolerate heat and cold, happiness and distress, Tangstitikshasva Bharata, tolerate. But at the same time, when there's a hot day, which is most of the days of the year, sometimes very hot, and it just goes on and on all day. And then, often toward the end of the day, we hear a little distant rumble of thunder. And we think, oh, still hot, but may sounds like there'll be some rain. And gradually, some clouds build up. And then you get a shower of rain, and everything is cool. Whew. What a relief! What a relief! So we can't force it to come. The rain comes from our perspective by his own. The rain just comes. Actually, we know it's Krishna who's sending it. Tapamyaham maham varsham cha. Krishna heats. And he also sends forth and sometimes withholds the rain. Sometimes it may be days and days and days of heat, 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 and at night it hardly cools down, and then again the next day, heat, heat, heat. Then at night, little bit cools down, and then again the heat all day, and goes on and on and on. Then when the rain comes, oh, when the rain finally comes, and usually when it comes in that situation, it really comes down hard, really very hard. I must say that although I was born in this lifetime in England where rain is quite common, but the kind of rain, the hard, heavy rain that I see in India sometimes, oh, it's unimaginable in the West. Really, really strong rain, and things really get cooled down a lot. So like that, Krishna's rain comes by his mercy. The rain of his mercy comes by his mercy. It's not within our control. And just like, but the rain is most welcome. Ah, relief, most welcome. So similarly, the rain of mercy, the rain of bliss, it's just like we're chanting, we're doing our sadhana, we're doing our service, we're praying, we're doing everything we can within this very difficult world to try to serve Krishna, and it's tough and it's hard, and we go on praying and we go on praying, then it's just sometimes it's the rain of mercy comes down. Oh, what a relief. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna manifests himself in the form of a flood of mercy. Well, now we're talking about a flood of mercy in our hearts. If we say, yeah, if there's rain, then often rain is followed by flood. You have droughts followed by floods. That's also quite common in this land at the present time. Not when Krishna was present or Yudhishthira was present. Kamam vavarsha parajanyaha, it said about Yudhishthira Maharaj, due to his pious rule, that the rain would just come as needed, not too much, not too little. But at the present time, we often have droughts followed by floods, and floods are also very, very difficult, apart from killing people and destroying so many things, destroying crops and killing cattle and destroying buildings, and sometimes whole villages are destroyed. Okay. Floods also devastating. But when there's a flood of Krishna prema, then that flood is all good. It's like with rain, it's a relief in the material world. Rain is a relief from the heat and the drought. But too much of it again becomes a problem. But there's never too much Krishna, never too much Krishna consciousness. When we get the mercy, there's no point when we say, I've had enough Krishna. There's no end of the bliss. There's no end of the prem. In fact, we want to, that's also said, prema vanya. There's a flood of mercy. Nityananda brought a flood of mercy. He cut a canal from the ocean of mercy. Karuna sindhu nitai katiya muhan. He cut a canal from the ocean of mercy, and then he flooded the whole land of Bengal with love of Krishna. So this flood we want, we get washed away, drowned, means all our material desires drowned and get washed away, washed out of this material existence and carried in the flood all the way back home, back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Krishna. So this kind of flood we want. So again, we're reminded, I did a series of talks on Bhakta Vatsala. So again, we're reminded how so many of these names of Vishnu Sahasranam, they remind us of the Bhakta Vatsalya, the love of Krishna, the affection and the protection, the spirit, the I want to care. Not just I want to care, but just like an innate propensity, a natural propensity. Just like we don't have to send the cow to a mothering class and teach the cow you should love your calf. It's just completely innate. And it would be in human women also to love their children if they weren't so messed up by the miserable selfishness of so-called advanced society. Otherwise, it's natural for women to love their children, and you don't have to teach that. Here in the village, I see just it's a common thing. There's a girl about 5-year-old picking up and carrying around her sister or cousin's sister or whatever, because joint family in the next field, and then how is the 2-year-old? I don't know whether it's a boy or girl or whatever, but just natural. You don't have to teach them. So the natural propensity to love their children. And in the same way, Krishna has this natural, innate propensity to love his devotees. That's his bhaktavatsalya. One other way this can be understood, he showers his fierce weapons. He throws his weapons to protect his devotees when they're attacked by others. Now, teja can also refer to water. So water is showered, again, by the agency of the sun. So the sun is instrumental in heating us and in sending us rain. And this was understood in the times before all this modern science, that it's the sun, by the agency of the sun, water is showered on the earth by evaporating it from primarily the ocean and from other bodies of water. So in this way, that already quoted, tapamyaham aham varsham nigrinami utsrijami cha. Krishna sends forth the rain, the heat, since the heat in itself evaporates the water and then arranges to let it go. One way we can, if we take this analogy a little further, is just like the seawater is not very palatable or usable. Krishna puts salt in the water to preserve it, just like we put salt when we make pickles. We put salt, which preserves, so the salt water preserves the water. And then Krishna arranges it for to be potable water and water suitable for agriculture by evaporating it and then showering it. So in the same way, Krishna distills our thoughts, purifies it from that which is not palatable, and makes our mind pure. So these are some ways which we can take this analogy a little further. He showers his radiance everywhere, on everyone. Adityanam aham Vishnu, Jyotishang Ravirang Shuman, Marichi Marutam Asmin, Nakshatranam aham Shashi. Adityanam aham Vishnu, among the Adityas, the sons of Aditi. Aditya can also mean the sun. So here we have S-O-N, sun, and S-U-N, sun. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, among all the Adityas, I am Vishnu. And so they're all effulgent. The word deva, which we use for God in English, we say God. So the word deva, it actually derives from not from godly or superiority, but from being bright. The root meaning of the name is derived from being bright. So among the bright beings, he is the source of all brightness. And he gives brightness to the demigods. And we can be bright also. We see someone who just like that example of becoming pure in mind, someone who is detached from the desire from sense gratification and who is absorbed in serving Krishna, then naturally they become bright, their countenance becomes bright, their face becomes bright automatically. As when we desire sense gratification, it's actually there in our aura. People can see that there. If we desire strongly sense gratification, we can become very red with passion. And then when we have very bad thoughts, become blue with ignorance. But when our thoughts are pure, then we become bright yellow. So that radiance, that's the natural radiance of the soul shining through, which ultimately comes from Krishna, because we're all part and parcel of Krishna. Every living being has some radiance. We can see the difference between a living body and a dead body. It's quite noticeable that a dead body loses the radiance. As long as there is life, there is brightness. And when life is ebbing away, the body starts to become dull, and then the soul leaves the body, and the body becomes completely dull. So that radiance comes from the jiva, which is a reflection of the original radiance from Krishna. Hare Krishna. Let us all pray for the mercy of Krishna to shine on us and on all the devotees and all the world, and let us do what we can, distribute those books, Srila Prabhupada's books, and distribute the holy names of Krishna, speak about Krishna, pray to Krishna, and let the shower of Lord Chaitanya's mercy develop into a huge flood which sweeps all over the world. We want to see in the news massive floods inundate such and such a place. We'll have in the news massive flood of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. We can have in the Google News feed or whatever it is. Massive flood of Lord Chaitanya's mercy inundates London as Harinam Kirtan parties were found all over the city. And then subheading, Residents in Bliss. Yeah, let's have it. Change the headlines. Throw out all the bad headlines. Bring in the good headlines. Bring in the bliss. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is that he has made us instruments to channel his bliss, to channel his mercy. So we can do it if we so desire. We can go out and distribute this bliss. So nowadays, you can sit in a room and talk about Krishna, and it goes out here, there, and everywhere. Hare Krishna! All glories to Srila Prabhupada, who has introduced us to this blissful life of service to Lord Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya churnakang padaya nipatya kritva chakakushata medataham bravimi. Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat Kauranga Chandra Charane Kurutanuraga Parivada Tuja no Yata Tata Va Nanu Mukaro Navayang Navicharayamaha. Hari Rasa Madhira Madati Mata Bhuvi Vilutama Nartama Nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.